Hi friends, how are you today? My name is Bailey Sarian and today is Monday and I wanted to do something a little different this week. Hi. I kind of assume that everyone knows me because I've been uploading content since 2013. Like I've shared a lot of my life and stuff. So I always just assume everyone knows who I am and like what I do and why I'm doing it and bleep, blah, bloop. But the reality is many of you came on, found my channel during quarantine. Yes, quarantine. And you know, I got questions. Who am I? So I thought, wouldn't it be fun if I do a Q&A? So I went on my Instagram and I was like, hey guys, I'm gonna do a Q&A. Ask me questions. Like, what do you wanna know? I'm an open book. I really am. Am I? I think so. Sorry if you don't follow me on Instagram or anything. You totally can. If you want to, you know, it's at Bailey Sarian. And so I got a bunch of questions and I thought, why not do a Q&A? Wouldn't that be fun? I thought this could be a time to be very personal, one-on-one, you know, get to know each other, right? So I pulled some questions. Actually, I just took a bunch of screenshots. I was like, and then I was just gonna go from there. But I saw a lot of repeat questions, a lot of personal questions as well. So maybe I'll add the personal questions like towards the end or something. Let's start with crime related content. So I hope you enjoy this little Q&A. So one question I get asked the most I kept seeing over and over and over again, what's the one story you've done that stuck with you? I got a bunch of these questions, all kind of worded differently, but asking the same thing. What's that one story that really messed you up, Bailey? And you guys are dark. Why do you want to know? But I'll tell you, I thought about this real hard. I think the one that stuck with me the most was the toy box killer. So the toy box killer is the guy who lived in Truth or Consequences. First of all, I could not get over that name. Truth or Consequences was this town's name. I know. This older man, he looks creepy as hell, weathered. Ugh, he looks like just tired, okay? He had this trailer on his property and he would pretty much pick up different women, drug them, take them to his toy box, aka this trailer, put them in there, tie them down to like this, it looked like a dentist chair almost. He would tie them down. And inside the toy box was all these contraptions and tools that he would use to torture and just torture women. Okay? And I think this one stuck with me because the guy gave me the creeps. The inside of this trailer is horrifying. It's just something of your nightmares. The third thing is this guy, the toy box killer, he had recorded himself giving this long message that he would play to his victims on like a recorder. And he would play these long messages about how he's gonna like torture and kill them and how they're bad. And it's just so creepy and so dark and just so, ugh. I think that one has sat with me for just a little too long. And also, I could go on and on about this because also he like allowed his animals to come in on the assault and rape and all that. Yeah, dogs. He was like, your turn. Come on. And then on top of that, they had like a lake nearby called Elephant Butte. And it's believed that there's like bodies in this lake, but no one will search this lake. And it just doesn't make any damn sense. And eventually the toy box killer guy, I forget his name right now, I apologize, but he did get caught. And then he died shortly, like after getting caught, which is so lame. But it's just, I don't know what it was about that one. It was just, ew, torture. That part, like, really not, yuck. So I think that one is definitely one that sits with me. Yeah, you win, toy box killer. You win. Look, sometimes I do a little over shopping, you know? Who doesn't? So I always end up with a ton of returns, but it's like, oh my God, like what card did I use? Where's the receipt? Which thing goes to which store? Well, I love it when the places I shop at use Shopify because then I don't have to worry. So if you need a little extra support like me sometimes, Shopify is here to help you do retail right. Shopify POS, which I know, look, if you don't know, POS stands for point of sale. Is your command center for your retail shop. I'm talking from accepting payments to managing inventory. Shopify has everything you need to sell in person.
And friends, not only that, Shopify is a powerhouse selling partner that unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. You can track every single sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. I love having Shopify as a sponsor because I know from experience that they're doing the Lord's work when it comes to selling online. And the other thing they have that I love, award-winning help. So if you need a little extra support, Shopify is here to help you do retail right. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/makeup. And makeup is all lowercase, okay? So go to shopify.com/makeup to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/makeup.
Pippi Cart? Is that your name? Pippi Cart? How many hours would you spend preparing an episode? Do you practice beforehand in the mirror? That's a great question, Pippi Cart. So usually I find a topic. I actually, as of right now, have a long list of topics that I want to further research on and also potentially do stories on. I have a lot of different serial killer types of books. I know. So I just have this list that is never ending, first of all. But usually I start with somebody. Who am I working on right now? I'm working on right now. Well, I don't want to give it away. So like Albert Fish. Okay. So then you just start Googling and you start going. My favorite places to find or look into research, which is another question somebody has. So I'll answer two in one. Hillary Griffey. She asked, do you have a favorite or go-to source for murder mystery and makeup research? Newspapers.com. Ancestry, surprisingly, is pretty good. JSTOR, Google, different news articles. I'll watch interviews if there's interviews available. So I kind of get an understanding of the story and the situation. Usually that takes a full day because it's like gathering all the information, all the stuff I found, kind of compiling it into one place. And then the next day it's like start with the story. So the story will be like from start to finish, who this person is that I'm talking about. Now, if you know anything about me, I like to always start with a backstory. I feel like a lot of true crime stories and whatnot, they kind of just start with the crime itself. But me personally, I've always been more curious about like what goes on in somebody's brain to just wake up one day and murder your whole family. Like, what's that about? I got questions. So I love a backstory because it can give you an understanding of where someone comes from. And in a way, at least for me, it kind of puts into perspective, like, that's why they turned out the way they did. There are many stories where they have a perfect upbringing and you're like, still no idea. So it's like, okay, day one, what's the story? Getting all the information, as much info as you can. Day two, now I'm going to write the story. I write a script and it's pretty much start to finish. What's the story I'm going to tell on my Monday episode, right? And then normally I'll go through that. And I print it out. Did you want every little detail? I'm sorry. So then the next day, it's more like editing. Okay, so I have a certain amount of pages that I know, like, if it's like 8 to 10 pages, I know it will be like a 45-minute video. So it's like, okay, can I make cuts? Can I add stuff? Is there anything I'm missing? Is there anything more that I want? And I'll do extra research. And then it's like, okay, then I should be done by day four, usually. A lot of the times, though, I'm a liar. It takes me sometimes longer just because I like getting into the nitty-gritty of the stories. I like finding as much information as I possibly can. Like, I want to know every little detail. It doesn't mean it goes into my story. It's just like I personally want to know, and then I decide, okay, this is how I'm going to tell it. And then from there, usually filming. So it takes about how many days did I say? Full days. And then I sit down and I record. Usually for the makeup looks, I just go. I just start going. I don't plan my makeup looks because by that point, it's like, I just need to be done with this because it's going to go live in a couple of days. Like, I always try to get ahead, but I fall behind every time. So it's like, I only have 5 days to make it happen, baby, and I try my best. So then I do the makeup, and then I have new editors and stuff. So it's like now, yeah, pass it off, get it, the edit, upload, all that jazz. So I would say, honestly, to feel good about one episode, I like to spend a solid, if it were up to me, I would spend 5 whole days. It's like I have to constantly, like, okay, well, next week, okay. So it's like, I don't know what to do with all this information I gather. But you know what? Like, this isn't me complaining at all because I am fascinated. I don't want to say murders and stuff because that sounds bad, but it's the brain that gets me. The why, the when, the how, the why. It's always the why. I'm just trying to personally find an answer. Don't know why, but I want to know. Did that answer your question? This is a good question from Bella. Have you ever been contacted by upset or thankful family members of victims? I have been contacted by family members before. They did not want to be, like, mentioned anywhere or anything, you know, because, like, they're related to somebody bad. So they're like, please don't ever talk about me. But this person was like, if you're ever in town, you should come over and we can, like, meet or something. Like, this person was very friendly and actually really had positive feedback about the video I did about their family member who was really awful, and it was very unexpected, but I definitely want to take them up on their offer of meeting. I think that would be really interesting. I would love to do that, but can't say who it is. Shelby Ray Beauty asked, are there any cases you'll never cover because they're too much? Probably. I mean, I've come across a couple stories where it involves just a lot of kids, you know? That's all I have to say. It's just sad. It's all sad, but, you know, that's all I have to say. Ooh, Talia Lantintuning. What? Ooh, girl, I can't say your name. I'm so sorry. Talia? Mm-hmm. Does creating MMM make you worried on a day-to-day that these things could happen to you? Well, didn't now. No, I do get asked this question a lot. Like, does doing murder mystery makeup affect my day-to-day functioning? Am I paranoid? Are you okay? Yes, I'm okay. And I think I don't let fear control my day. So, like, yes, these awful things could possibly happen to me. Okay. You know, like, there are some things that you just can't control. I can't control what happens to me. I can protect myself, you know. But, like, you can't live in fear that these things are going to happen. You can be alert and aware of your surroundings and do everything you can to protect yourself, right? But, like, you cannot let it control your life. You just can't. Like, I really just don't think twice about it. There are bad people out there. There's always going to be bad people out there. And God, if something ever happened to me, that would suck. But, like, you know, that's life. It's just, actually, I shouldn't say that because I'm not trying to welcome, like, any type of murder or anything. But just don't let fear control your life. Really, that's it. Like, no, it doesn't make me paranoid. When I hear, like, creaking and stuff in my house late at night when, like, I'm sleeping, yeah, I get a little paranoid. And I don't even think, like, there's an intruder. I think there's a straight-up ghost. That's my first thought. I'm not worried about getting hacked to death. I'm worried about a ghost. That's how opposite my brain works. I'm more afraid of a ghost than I am a murderer. You know why? Because I got a .45 and a shovel, and I never miss a shot. So, I know I'm okay. Rachel Caroline 88, what inspired you to start Murder Mystery Makeup Monday? That's a great question, Caroline. No, sorry, Rachel. That's a great question. So if you go back to my very first Murder Mystery Makeup, I talked about Chris Watts. Do you remember Chris Watts? Oh, bitch. So I've been interested in true crime for as long as I can remember. I remember being a kid and the JonBenet Ramsey case was, like, on the TV, and that was the first time I realized, like, death and tragedy can happen when you're a kid. Like, it was just such, it had such an impact on me. So I had been doing makeup on my channel since 2013. And when the Chris Watts case was happening, when was that, 2018, 2019? When the Chris Watts case was happening, once again, like always, I was just invested. I was like, what's going on? Because we didn't know anything yet. If you don't know, Chris Watts murdered his whole fucking family. Point blank period. This guy went psycho one day. The kind of freak that you don't ever want to marry because they might snap on you one day. Like, there's no red flags with this guy. It was spooky. So I was watching TV. I was watching all the interviews with Chris Watts. I was staying up until, like, 3 or 4 in the morning, just, like, web sleuthing and trying to solve the mystery. And I just had, like, so much, like, useless knowledge about this case, but, like, nobody to talk about it with. So I was like, okay, what if... idea, what if I, like, did my makeup and talked about what I learned. And I really thought, like, this is not going to go well. It's probably going to backfire in my face because, you know, I'm doing makeup and talking about people dying. Like, oh my God. Bailey, what are you doing? I know. I was like, I don't know. But I did it anyways. And the main reason I did my makeup was because, one, sitting in front of the camera like this, just staring at a lens, can be very intimidating. So to keep myself busy, I like to just do my makeup. Plus, it's like I get ready for my day. I'm doing my makeup anyway. So I did my makeup and I told a story. I was so surprised by the feedback, honestly. Like, people, for one, were just like me, staying up all night trying to solve this mystery. And we all knew, if you're familiar with the Chris Watts case, remember when he gave that interview on his porch? And we all knew in that very moment that he was guilty. You know. Yeah, we all saw that. And it was just like, oh, it was so cool to have, like, this community in the comment section and all of us just, like, trying to solve, like, oh, just going on and on about just our theories, our thoughts, like, this guy sucks, and, oh, the mistress. And it was, like, at the time, I had gotten, like, 60,000 views on that video in the first couple of days. And I was like, holy shit, I think I'm onto something. So then I ended up doing it again with another true crime story I knew. So I did it again, and I had the same results. It was like, people were into it. I was like, okay, I'm going to try it again. Like, I'm literally still surprised. Like, it's just crazy. I just never imagined that this would lead me to where I am today, ever, in a million years, ever. And still, to this day, I'm like, I hope they like this. You know, like, I hope they like this video. I hope they like this topic I picked. I don't know. So, sadly, Chris Watts kind of inspired my my Monday episodes, but I don't want to give him credit. God damn it, that nasty man and all of his nasty fangirls. You guys still out there being little thirsty bitches for this Chris guy? You nasties. 6 bug bandages. Hey, 6 bug. What you think about the Murdoch case? Listen, I was watching the trial and all that stuff, and their family's nasty. Nasty family. And I'm so glad he was found guilty, and I'm so glad he'll be spending the rest of his life in prison. But it's so unfortunate that it had to be at the cost of so many different lives. Like, fuck that family. Fuck that system over there who didn't put him in his place. Fuck those police officers. Fuck everybody who allowed that to happen in the first place. I cannot stand. Rich people who just are like this. They could do whatever they want. They could get away with whatever they want. No rules apply. Like, that keeps me up at night, because I just can't stand knowing that there's people on this planet who exist like that. And there's a ton, unfortunately, and rarely do they get caught. And it really, really pisses me off. And now that Buster kid, like, he's still out, right? And, like, his name is ruined. Good luck trying to find a job and stuff. Hope he doesn't, because I think he was involved for sure in that. It was Stephen Smith. I think he was involved. Any type of death that happened in and around the area where they lived, I think they were probably involved with. You know? Just nasty people. Can't believe. Money just is disgusting. I mean, like, you know, money just ruins people. It makes them... No, it's not even money. This guy was just fucking disgusting. I hated him. AM_Brown wants to know, how did you first get into true crime? That's a great question, AM Brown. I had mentioned a little bit earlier that the JonBenet Ramsey was, like, as a child, first introduction to, like, oh, shit, you could die when you're a kid. Like, that's weird. And then as I got a little bit older, like, I've always been a little curious and a little bit morbid growing up. Say what you will, but I was always a little dark. But then when I got, I don't even know how old I was, like early, maybe preteen, my mom was a 911 dispatcher, and she would sometimes take me to work with her, and I would get to, like, put on little headphones, and I would listen to 911 calls, and I was just a kid. And looking back, definitely would not recommend doing that. But now I could laugh about it. Like, we laugh about it now, but, like, don't do that to your kids, because no one's calling 911 to say, hey, I hope you're having a great day. You know, it's a lot of bad. But at the time, I was like, oh, like, it was wild to me. It was wild that these calls were coming in. And, like, there was so much going on in that very hour that none of us knew about. Anyway, so I would say that's definitely where it started, for sure. And I have to say, 911 dispatchers are, like, the true first responders. They're the first one to get phone calls about the situation. They usually talk to the victim or sometimes even, like, the person who's doing something bad, the killer. Just all of it. The things they do, the things they have to go through, 911 dispatchers, it's a lot. They're very overlooked. Put some respect on it. Tarot Charlie, how do you find the energy to create all your content? It's funny you say that because a lot of the times for me, I feel like I'm could be doing so much more. I never feel like I'm doing enough. I always feel like I'm falling behind. I'm just constantly, not constantly, but I feel like I need to be doing more. Ow. You know what I've been doing more of? Sleeping, setting boundaries, learning when to turn it off. Turn it down as far as like my computer, my work mode, which is, you know, wanting to like stay up all night and research and stuff. Like I can't do that anymore as much as I want to. It's like I need to make sure to go to bed, to shut down, to stop, to like make sure that at 7 p.m. it's no more murder for me after 7 p.m. Like I have to go home and watch something else. What have I been watching? Judge Judy. I just watched a lot of Judge Judy. So it's like making sure that I'm not spending my energy, wasting my energy, I guess, when it could be spent. What am I even fucking talking about? I don't know. I just like make boundaries. You have to shut it down. You have to make sure like, okay, I like set hours for myself. 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. It's like murder, research, whatever. And then the next half of my day is like, I don't know, switching to something else so I don't get burnt out. And then at 6 or 7 p.m., shutting it down and going home, setting boundaries. And I think if you really want to do something, it's kind of easy. You know, I'm a very curious person. I say this all the time, but it's very true. And I think I get the energy to create all the content because I'm so curious and I want to know everything I can, whether it be about true crime or whether it be about history. I know. I love learning. So I think that's also how I find the energy, is the fact that I'm researching and finding stories about stuff that I'm really curious about. It gets me excited.
Hey, the weekend is coming up, and you know I love a good girls' night. But if you've got bougie friends, that night can get pricey real quick. And the last thing you want to do is be like, well, Linda, listen, I technically didn't have any of those fries, so I don't know that I should have to pay for them. Okay? It's a little awkward. But that whole song and dance doesn't even need to happen if you download the Rocket Money app. Did you know that 75% of people pay for subscriptions they've forgotten about? And at one point, I too was one of them. So I downloaded Rocket Money. They found the subscriptions I no longer use and helped me cancel it faster than you can say, fries are on me. If you don't know, Rocket Money is incredible. It's a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. And they're so good at what they do. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Members have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. So stop wasting your money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/makeup. That's rocketmoney.com/makeup. rocketmoney.com/makeup.
Nico, the weirdo. Sorry if I said that wrong. Do you get any help with murder, mystery, and makeup? Monday. Yes. So now I do. Yay. It was just me, myself, and I for a very long time. And I was very protective over it because it's mine. Like, it's this thing I started and I do, and I didn't really want anybody else in on it, like, as far as help goes, because, I don't know, I was like, I just wanted to be in control of it, okay? I did. I was like, it's mine. I know what I like. I know my voice. It's scary letting other people in control of your voice and your image. And because, like, if the editor wants to do me dirty, they could, like, piece this together and make me look real dirty, right? But I know you won't, hopefully. But what I'm saying is, it can be scary. But I got to a point, especially last year, remember when I wasn't really uploading murder mystery consistently? It was because I was going through a hard time, but it made me realize that it's okay to ask for help and it's okay to get help. Like, yes, this is my baby and what I really love, true crime and stuff, you know, like, or I'm interested in. And it's okay to get help with it. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. So now I have researchers helping me with murder mystery. I have editors and yeah. So I have help now, but for a long time I didn't. And that's why murder mystery was inconsistent and dark history was thrive. Well, it was like consistent every week because I had so much help. And it made me realize too, like, okay, I need to get help with murder mystery or it's just gonna, I can't do it all, you know? Does that make sense? I hope that makes sense. Suicide by Suicide Girl wants to know thoughts on true crime tourism. I don't have any thoughts really. True crime tourism. Do you mean like going to visit like, oh, Jeffrey Dahmer used to go to this bar. Let's go. Is that what you mean? I'm going to say that's what you probably mean. Look, if that's something you want to do, not you personally, but like you and in general, if that's what someone wants to do, do it. Like, I'm not here to judge. Do whatever you want in your life as long as it doesn't hurt anybody else. For me personally, I find true crime tourism is gimmicky. Like, usually they want to make some money, okay? I don't blame them, but, like, maybe if I'm in town and they're like, hey, that's the bar that one guy murdered everybody at, I'd be like, oh, shit, and then I'd carry on with my day. You know what I'm saying? I just, like, I don't know. It's whatever. If it's there, cool. If not, oh, whatever. But I wouldn't, like, go out of my way. Well, that's not true, because I kind of want to see whose grave? Ed Gein. I don't know why I'm so infatuated with this guy. But didn't his grave get, like, moved and shit? Anyways, thoughts on true crime tourism? I don't really have any. Sorry, I can't answer that more, like, straightforward. It's just, I don't really think about shit like that. It's just, if you want to do it, cool. If not, cool. Do I want to do it? I don't know. Cool. If not, cool. Get it? I don't know why I'm feeling emotional right now, but this question, like, really made me think. Mary Morris, 16, what are you most proud of? I think just a lot. I sit around and I think about this a lot because I try to be a very grateful person. And I'm just really proud of breaking the cycle. I'm proud of working on myself. And I'm proud of the sense of community I feel here on YouTube. I feel like I've made a lot of friends. That's why I started on YouTube. I started on YouTube in 2013 because it's like I just wanted a community of friends and stuff. Like I really just want to talk about makeup and anything and everything. And it's like, it's cool that I've made something. I've made something and I have this sense of community in my comment section from my subscribers, from my, I don't even like saying from you guys. It just, it means a lot and I'm very proud of that. And I'm so grateful. You just don't understand. One day I'm going to write a tell-all book and then you'll understand that sometimes life isn't easy, right? But you can like accomplish things. That's my life advice. I should have saved this for last. I'm just proud of myself for not giving up on myself. Yeah. Okay, now that I'm done crying. Jasmine? Was there a murder you understood the reasoning behind? Yes. And no, I do not condemn murder. Condemn? No, I do not condemn murder. Nobody should murder unless you absolutely have to. Meaning you're a victim trapped somewhere. You need to get the fuck away. For example, Gypsy Rose Blanchard. If you don't know Gypsy Rose Blanchard, girl, what are you doing, first of all? Second of all, that one I could kind of look, I could understand, and I'm sure we all could, because her mom was straight up abusing her, making her believe that she was sick, stuck in a wheelchair, shaved her head, constantly taking her to the doctors. You know, poor thing. This girl has been sick all of her life and told that she's a baby when in fact she was like, how old was she when she was arrested? Like 20? And everyone was like, what? She didn't kill her mom. She got her boyfriend to kill her mom. But like, they were both in on it. But like, you know, not that again, not saying she should have died. I'm just saying this poor girl couldn't get away from her mom. That's all I'm saying. Man, all of these questions, sorry, I'm just looking at, they're all like, what was the story that kept you up at night? What's the most disturbing case that you've researched? I think because I've been introduced to true crime or like all that from a young age, I feel like I'm really good at disassociating myself from these stories, because if I did take these on emotionally, every single story I've done, there's no way I'd be here right now, because it would absolutely destroy you, right? So it's like I know how to shut it down and see the story for what it is and not get emotionally too attached to it. That doesn't mean I don't have any emotion, but yeah. And some people say like, well, that's inappropriate, like I shouldn't be doing that. But like, if you want to work in the true crime field, or I mean, police, like you have to become desensitized to these things. And, you know, in long term, I want to work in the true crime field. I want to work in criminology. Like, come on. Bunny B Lips wants to know, who is one of the most interesting / creative killers you've researched? If you know me, you should know my answer. Ed Gein. Man, he fascinates me, that one. You know why? Because I have yet to come across another person so far. There's probably someone else, but I have yet to come across another person like Ed Gein, because Ed Gein was a body snatcher. He was a grave digger. So he would dig up these people's bodies and then he would cut off their skin and then make arts and crafts out of the skin. Oh, he made chairs, table lamps, wall art. He was trying to make a full-on bodysuit out of skin. Allegedly, he would wear the bodysuit around the house because he actually did a good job. He made gloves all out of skin. His whole house was decorated with skin and sewn together, and it was just like, what the f-? And this interests me because what the fuck is that? That's new. You know, like, I haven't heard that one before. It makes me think, like, if you would have put him in the right setting, let's say we sent him to fashion design, he probably could have succeeded, maybe thrived, but instead he was bored. And you know what they say, the devil's got work for idle hands, and his hands were available, unfortunately. Just because I'm fascinated with Ed Gein does not mean like I'm hanging up posters of him and stuff on my wall. No, it's just, again, it's the human brain. What is that? What is that? Why? Like, there's no internet and stuff back then when he's doing this. So it's like, how did he think of this? And with that being said, let's put him in art school. Let him thrive in the fashion industry. He probably could have made some cool pieces. Just saying. So Ed Gein, for sure, hands down, always wins, because I've yet to come across anyone like that. Like, again, what was that? What was that? Okay, this isn't really a question from Vil39999. Lizzie Borden and the whole story behind it. I'd love to see your take on it. Love you. Love you too. But I just wanted to giggle for a minute, because for the longest time, like I'm talking an embarrassing long time, I was getting Helen Keller and Lizzie Borden mixed up. For the longest time, I thought Lizzie Borden was Helen Keller, really. So I was like, dang, she's deaf and blind and she killed her family. Anyways, so when I learned that Lizzie Borden was not deaf and blind, wasn't as impressive. Not that it should have been, but I'm just saying. I was like, oh, this makes the story a little not as interesting. What is it, the fascination with Lizzie Borden? How come people, like, why? What is the fascination with that one? Actually, maybe I don't even know the Lizzie Borden story. Obviously, I thought she was deaf and blind. Anto666, have you ever sympathized with any serial killer? Oh, absolutely. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. There's like, hello, we're human beings. It's okay to feel like two things could be right at the same time. A lot of these serial killers have some fucking horrid upbringings, and it's okay to feel bad for them and acknowledge that their upbringing was bad. And also, it's okay to acknowledge that they grew up to be a shitty person who killed a bunch of people. You know, like two things could be right at the same time. And I hate that it's kind of like, pick a side, but really it's like, you can kind of see where it derails, you know what I'm saying? And like, for that makes me sad, because at the end of the day, it's like, comes down to parents and how you're raised. Like in some of the stories, I'm not a doctor, you know, whatever, but it's just sad. You just feel bad. I feel bad for everybody. I don't know. you're allowed to. But yeah, for sure. It's a lot of them just have horrible lives. And there are some people like Chris Watts, who it's like fool had like a pretty great upbringing and stuff. Not saying it was perfect. I don't know him. But like, how did that guy go from, again, zero to fucking murdering his whole family? Like, those people freak me out. And those people I don't feel bad for, because I don't know what that is. If I don't understand something, I try to figure it out. But sometimes you just can't, you know? Your makeup is not terrible, says. Are you 100% sure Scott Peterson did it or didn't do it? Okay, don't come for me at all. Look, listen. Ideas. I don't know if Scott Peterson did it or not. I mean, I don't fucking know. I'm not good. But like, if you kind of look, dig a little bit deeper, you'll see that Scott Peterson didn't necessarily get a fair trial. He was being ripped to shreds in the media because everyone was like, he did it. But when you look into actual physical evidence, there wasn't any. And at the same time that Lacey Peterson was murdered, there was also a serial killer on the loose who was murdering other pregnant women. A lot of people don't talk about this because, I mean, they don't know if there's any correlation there. But, I mean, it kind of makes sense. Also, there was a neighbor who spotted Lacey Peterson with her dog. I think it was like she was going into the house or something where this eyewitness, her statement would throw off the entire timeline. And for some reason, police didn't want to include her statement in any of the documents. So, I don't know. I think Scott Peterson was shady, cheating on his wife, fled down to Mexico for some damn reason, dyed his hair, acted hella suspicious, right? But then when you look into the physical evidence of it all, it's like, where is it? It's, I don't know. So, again, two things could be right at the same time, right? Like, he might have been a really shitty husband, and he might be innocent. Or he could just be a plain murderer and everyone, you know? I don't know. But I feel like, I don't know. I just feel like by now, okay, listen. There's a couple of feelings I have about Scott. I feel like by now, if he's in prison at San Quentin, by now, he would have said something to somebody in the prison. Like, yeah, I did it. Because they brag. They have to brag. It's how you get your status in the system. You got to let people know what you did. But he hasn't bragged about what he's done. He always has said he's innocent. Okay. I just feel like if you're holding on to a lie that long, you would have cracked at some point. We all crack, right? I don't know. Don't come for me again. He's in prison. I don't give a fuck. Like, his wife was murdered at the end of the day. And I hope the right person was locked up. But when you look into evidence and whatnot, it's kind of like, did they make the right choice? I don't know. That one upsets people a lot. But I'm like, I don't know. I don't know. What do I know? I don't know. Maddie Fellows 98 wants to know, what was mentally the hardest, hardest for you to film? There's so many. I would say the hardest one to film is not because of the reason you're thinking. The Charles Manson one, because by the time that I got to film, I had done so much research on this motherfucker. I was so sick of him. I was so sick of Charles Manson. And that one was hard because it was like, I went in because there's so much information available about this guy. Sometimes you come across true crime stories where there's really not a lot of information to go off of, and it's like really, those are difficult. But with Charles Manson or with high profile cases, sometimes there's too much information to go off of, and you're like, now what do I do with all of this? I had too much Charles Manson in my system, and that was just, I was just so sick of him by the time I sat down to film. Oh my god. And plus, there was still so much that like I left out because it's like useless knowledge. It doesn't really add to the story, but it's always stuff that I find interesting. So I don't know. Maybe one day I'll write a book where it's like about maybe true crime related, and I could just share all of the stuff that I didn't get to put in my videos. I think that's a goal of mine. That way I feel like all these hours I've spent learning about these sick freaks, I could put it into something. Do you know what I'm saying? Wow, I know. So, I don't know. That one was hard because I hate him. Truly, I just was like so sick of them. I like this question. Ange underscore Lena. Is anyone else in the room with you when you film Murder, Mystery, and Makeup? You're so natural. No, just me and you. I like to do it alone. I feel like I could be myself. When there's other people in the room, it makes me very nervous. I feel comfortable, you know? Usually, it's always me. Dark history, though. I have someone in the room to make sure that I'm staying put because I like to move around a lot. And I tend to get out of focus. Underscore Kimmy underscore baby asked, what are your coping mechanisms for after you learn all this heavy stuff? Teach me. What are your coping mechanisms? Therapy always helps. I do therapy. I've been doing therapy since I was 18. So I feel like I've been preparing for this for a long time. Honestly, again, I kind of mentioned earlier, but learning to shut things down has helped me tremendously. Like I don't, after a certain point of the day, I turn it off, I turn it down, making sure that I watch, when I go home, I'm watching something that is uplifting, or I'm just on my free time finding something positive to do, because yeah, it can definitely pull you down. It's natural to be like, oh my God, everything's bad, and just spiral, but just learning that there are bad people in the world, but you gotta have hope and faith in yourself and other people. I don't know. I don't have an answer for you, Kimmy. I just know that it can be really hard, and learning to shut it down and shut it off is ideal. Oh, you know what's another big one that's helped me tremendously, that a lot of people don't like this answer, but I'm gonna tell you anyways. Here I go. I put a limit on my screen time. Yeah, I do. So on your iPhone, I don't know if you could do it on Android and stuff, but on your iPhone, you can actually set limits on your apps. So like on my social media apps, I only allow myself 45 minutes a day on social media, 45 minutes a day. And that prevents me from wasting 4 hours doom scrolling. It's been a tremendous help. It really has. And I highly recommend that you do this too. I'm not gonna lie, it's hard. Because a lot of us don't want to admit that we're addicted to our phones and social media and screen time and stuff, right? But we are. And it's okay to acknowledge that and say, you know what? I need to cut it down and try. That's how I've been able to read so much. If you follow me on social media, like, you know, I was reading books like crazy. It's because I cut down my screen time. And I was like, now what do I do? I started reading like crazy. just that alone is like, it's just, you have to limit the screen time and the amount of trauma porn you are receiving. That's, you know, there's a lot out there. So you have to limit it. You have to. And I say a lot of people don't like that answer because a lot of people don't want to limit their screen time. You know, I get that. But if you're serious about it, I highly recommend that you should. And it'll help keep your head clear, your energy up. You're not cluttered with everyone else's thoughts, opinions, ideas, and stuff, which is good in a limited time, right? So, Kimmy, I think that's the answer, really. Would I ever date a woman? Oh my God, I don't know. I don't like vagina, so I would say no, but never say never, shit. This will be the last question. How about that? I feel like this is long, because this one, everybody asked me about the theme song. The theme song, bring it back. Where'd it go? Why'd you do that? I'll just give you a brief rundown about the theme song. When I first started Murder, Mystery, Makeup, I didn't know what the hell I was doing. Okay, this was a new idea that I had, and I was feeling a little uncomfortable. So when I was showing up, I was like, in the beginning, if you watch my Murder Mysteries from the very beginning, you'll see the theme song slowly progress, because I told the audience, I was like, this is so awkward. I feel like I need a theme song or like background music or something to kind of lighten the mood. So then I just started making noises with the mouth, eventually getting to sana-san, which many of you recognize from The Simple Life. Me and my girlfriend, ooh, we would sana-san all day, every day. It was just like, sana-san. It's just what we would do to each other. Love that show growing up too when I was a preteen. But then it was kind of like just making fun of like what me and one of my friends would do, and it just stuck, and I don't know, I kept doing it. And the reason I stopped is because at this point I've I've grown so much, right? It's kind of like I didn't need the theme song anymore to kind of like ease me into the episode because I was feeling awkward. So I was just like, you know, I don't feel awkward anymore. I kind of know what I'm doing now. I come in and I'm like, hey, it's Monday. You know, like I know what I'm doing now. And I felt like it was kind of a crutch. But also, if you're new to my channel, and let's say I'm talking about your family, like your family was a victim of the story I'm talking about. And I'm senator. I was like, you know, like, oh, I'm already doing makeup. I get like, that's kind of, it's kind of already pushing the line, but the sound effects, I was feeling bad about it. And if I'm feeling bad about it, I should stop, right? Of course, a lot of you were like, bring it back. But it just, I'm unsure. I hope this Q&A gave you a little bit of insight into me and how I work and all that stuff. Thank you guys so much for hanging out with me today. I hope I answered some of your questions. Next week will be a normal murder mystery makeup, but thank you for hanging out with me today and getting to know me a little bit. And I also get to know you guys a little bit too by seeing what your questions are. Yeah. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day. You make good choices. Please be safe out there. Okay? And I'll be seeing you guys later. Goodbye.